Soul Theatre Company is proud to present Roald Dahl's Danny the Champion of the World, adapted for the stage by David Wood and used with special permission by Concord Theatricals, starring Simon Cox as Danny, with Lucas Munn, Michaela Bryan, Andy McMichael, Charlie Cox, Tessa Steele, Atreya Stryker, Asha Stryker, Gillian Cole, Grace Pinkham, Madeline Mathias, Ray Vickers, and Annabelle Mathias, and featuring Nathan Cox as William. Music by Yo-Yo Ma, Stuart Duncan, Edgar Meyer, and Chris Thiele. Directed and produced by Jennifer Johnson.
My father, without the slightest doubt, was the most marvelous and exciting father any boy ever had. But you will learn as you get older, just as I learned that autumn, that no father is perfect. Grown-ups are complicated creatures, full of quirks and secrets. Some have quirkier quirks and deeper secrets than others, but all of them, including one's own parents, have two or three private habits hidden up their sleeves that would probably make you gasp if you knew about them. It all started one night when I woke up and found that my father was not in his bed. In fact, he was not anywhere to be found. It was the middle of the night. All was quiet, and I was quite alone. I searched everywhere for him, and then went out our front door and sat on our top step, waiting. I don't know how long I sat. It may have been an hour. It could have been two. But I never dozed off. I wanted to be listening all the time. If I listened very carefully, I might hear something that would tell me where he was. And then, finally. Dad?
Danny, what are you doing up?
I thought something awful had happened to you.
You should be asleep.
Where have you been?
Oh, you must be tired out.
I'm not tired. I've been worried.
I'm sorry.
Where have you been, Dad?
Danny, come on, back to bed.
I don't get it. What's Dad up to? He left me on my own. Why won't he talk about it? He's never done it before. Maybe he has, and I've never woken up before. No, he wouldn't. Would he? Not Dad. He's a great dad. Since Mom died, he's had to look after me all on his own. Cook the meals, do the washing. He's a great dad. He really is. He teaches me things like grasshoppers have their ears. Guess where? In the sides of their tummies. He takes me hunting for birds' nests. He's a great dad. He smiles with his eyes, all twinkly. You know how some people smile at you with their mouths, but their eyes just stay the same? That's not twinkly. Dad's twinkly. He wasn't so twinkly tonight, though. More like shifty.
Fancy a sandwich? A midnight feast? A jam and cheese? Cheese and jam? It's strawberry.
Thanks. Where were you, Dad? You shouldn't just go off like that.
I was in dream country.
No, you weren't. What's the big secret? Why won't you tell me?
I was, Danny. In my very own dream country. But it's too late now. I'll tell you tomorrow. Promise. Come on. Busy day tomorrow.
Sean?
Sorry, Charlie. Late night.
Aha. No problem, Willem. Morning, young Danny.
Morning, Mr. Kinch.
Danny will look after you, Charlie.
Okie dokie.
Fill her up, Mr. Kinch.
That's it, Danny. Full tank. Long day today.
Do you need oil, Mr. Kinch?
No, no. Oil pay for the gas, then oil be off.
Oil get your change.
Good one. He's bright, your Danny.
A light of my life, Charlie.
Any joy, Willem?
Eh?
Last night. Any luck?
Oh, no, not a thing. See you, Charlie. Have a good day.
Change, Mr. Kinch.
Thanks, Danny. I'll be seeing you. Ta-ta!
Hush, Christopher, hush. Good morning, Danny.
Hello, Miss Clipstone.
Christopher, hush.
Hello, Christopher. How's the vicar?
Fine, thank you, Danny. Writing a sermon for Sunday. I had to come out because Christopher was disturbing his concentration. Christopher!
Chrissy, Chrissy, Chris, Chrissy, Chrissy,
Chris. Dumpa 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 dee. Dumpa dumpa dee. Wee! Boo boo. Yeah, that's better.
You've got the magic touch, Danny. Anytime you want to come babysit.
Fine by me, Mrs. Clipstone.
Now, you've got any eggs today?
Expect so. I'll have a look.
Mrs. Clipstone, good morning.
Good morning, William.
Morning, Christopher. Eggs, is it?
Hope so. Danny's looking. He's a lovely boy, your Danny.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. I wouldn't disagree with that.
William, I hear you, last night?
Oh, yes.
Any luck?
No. Ah, your eggs, Mrs. Clipstone.
Thanks, Danny. How's school? Enjoying it?
It's all right, but I'd rather be here every day working with Dad.
Oh, nothing like a good education. Eh, William?
Right, Mrs. Clipstone. I wish I'd had one. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Christopher. Dad, what did she mean, any luck?
Hey, look, Danny! It's Sergeant Samways in his Austin 7. 1933. And still running sweet as the proverbial nut. Welcome, Sergeant, my favorite customer.
It's not me you're so pleased to see, Willem. It's my pride and joy.
Always pleased to see you both.
And how's Danny? Fine. Thanks, Sergeant.
Got a problem?
No. She's still running as sweet as the proverbial nut. But she's a bit slow, starting from cold. Coughing a bit, you know?
We'll fix her up.
Much appreciated.
Our pleasure, eh, Danny?
You bet. Can I back her into the workshop, Dad?
If Sergeant Samways doesn't mind.
She's all yours, Danny. I reckon as you knows as much about cars as your dad. In you get, then. Right. Ignition key on. Pull the choke. Not too much. Right. Now press the starter button. There's the problem, Willem. Try again, Danny. That's it. Can you find reverse? That's the one. Clutch down. A bit of accelerator and off you go. Right hand down a bit. You got it. Good lad. Hey, Willem, a little bird tells me you were out last night. Success?
No, afraid not, Sergeant.
Don't worry. I'll unstrap my bike.
I'll give you a hand.
Sorry to keep you waiting, sir.
Fill her up and look sharp about it.
Right, sir.
And keep your filthy little hands to yourself. Do you understand?
What do you mean, sir?
If you make any dirty finger marks on my paintwork, I'll give you a good hiding.
I don't like you speaking to my son like that, Mr. Hazel. You had no reason to threaten him, and he'd done nothing wrong. The next time you threaten someone with a good hiding, I suggest you pick on a person your own size, like me, for instance. Now go away, please. We do not wish to serve you.
You'll regret that. No one crosses Victor Hazel and gets away with it. I have friends in very high places. You have been warned.
It's all right, Danny.
There goes Mr. Charm.
Oh, he makes my blood boil. Just because he got rich brewing beer, he thinks he rules the village. Coming here and bullying Danny? I'm not a violent man, Sergeant, but next time I see that great, glistening, beery face, I'll be sorely tempted to punch its fat nose.
I sympathize, Willem. But watch it. He's a law unto himself, that one. I'll pick up my pride and joy next week. Bye, Danny.
Bye, Sergeant. I've never seen Dad like this. He's never angry. That Mr. Hazel's horrible, but he didn't hit me. There must be more to it. What's the big secret?
More baked beans?
Please.
Danny, about last night.
Where were you, Dad? What's the big secret?
I was up in Hazel's wood.
Hazel's wood? That's miles away.
6.5 miles. I know I shouldn't have gone, and I'm very, very sorry about it, but I had such a powerful yearning.
Dream country?
Yes.
What's so special about Hazel's wood?
Danny, do you know what is meant by poaching?
Poaching? Not really, no. Except poaching eggs.
It means going up into the woods in the dead of night and coming back with something for the pot. Something to eat. Poachers in other places poach all sorts of different things, but around here it's always pheasants. Lovely birds, too. Tasty.
You mean stealing them? Poaching is stealing?
No, poaching is an art. That's how we country folks see it. A poacher is a great artist.
So you were stealing pheasants in Hazel's wood?
I was practicing the art of poaching. Not very successfully, as it turns out.
Who do the pheasants belong to?
Mr. Hazel.
What? The man in the rolls? The kettle's boiling.
Coco.
Thanks.
Your granddad, my dad, was a magnificent and splendiferous poacher. He taught me all about it when I was 10 years old. I caught the poaching fever from him, and I've never lost it since. Mind you, in those days, just about every man in our village was out in those woods at night poaching pheasants. And they did it not only because they loved the sport, but because they needed food for their families. And when I was a boy, the times were bad for a lot of people. There was very little work to be had anywhere, and some families were literally starving. Yet a few minutes away in the rich man's wood, thousands of pheasants were being fed like kings twice a day. So can you blame my dad for going out occasionally and coming home with a bird or two for the family to eat?
No, of course not. But we're not starving, Dad.
You're missing the point, Danny boy. Poaching is such a fabulous and exciting sport that once you've started doing it, it gets into your blood and you just can't give it up. Just imagine. You're all alone up there in the dark wood, and the wood is full of keepers hiding behind the trees. And the keepers have guns.
Guns? They don't have guns.
All keepers have guns, Danny, to shoot vermin, mostly. The foxes, the stoats, and the weasels who go after the pheasants. But they'll always take a shot at a poacher, too, if they spot him.
Dad, you're kidding me.
I'm serious. But they only do it from behind, and only when you're trying to escape. They like to pepper you in the legs at about 50 yards. Drink your cocoa.
So last night, you were poaching Mr. Hazel's pheasants?
Trying to. Last night was the first time in 9 years since your mother died. You see, I made a vow I'd never do it again till you were old enough to be left alone. But last night I had this tremendous longing. I just couldn't stop myself. I'm sorry.
But why does Mr. Hazel have all these pheasants with keepers guarding them?
Good question. Wealthy idiots like Mr. Hazel rear pheasants just for the fun of shooting them down when they grow up. Mr. Hazel spends a fortune every year buying baby pheasants from pheasant farms. Then his keepers feed them twice a day on the best corn until they're so fat they can hardly fly. And then Mr. Hazel invites his equally rich and equally idiotic friends to join him for the so-called fun of blasting them out of the sky. They call it sport.
Is that why you don't like Mr. Hazel?
That's the main reason, yes.
But you kill the pheasants too.
Well, not for the cold-blooded fun of it. I've told you, poaching's an art. And a real poacher never shoots a pheasant, never uses a gun.
How do you do it, then?
Ah, these things are big secrets. Very big secrets indeed. But I guess if my father could tell them to me, then maybe I can tell them to you.
Yes, please.
First big secret. Dad called it the sticky hat. I remember him trying it out on a huge white rooster from the backyard.
Would it work on a chicken?
Don't see why not. Take the flashlight. I remember when Dad brought in the rooster. Mom had a fit. Horace, she shouts, take that filthy bird off my table! But then he showed her the sticky hat and she calmed right down.
Go on then, show me.
Right, Dad had discovered that if you put a paper hat over a pheasant's head, let me just put this over her head. See?
She's gone all still.
Exactly. Cover its eyes and no bird will run away. You just pick him up, and Bob's your uncle, one for the pot.
That's brilliant, but why is it called the sticky hat?
Well, you put a little smear of glue inside, and then press it into the ground and pop a raisin or two inside. And then you lay a trail of raisins along the ground leading up to it. Pheasant comes along, pecks away, pops his head in the hat, the glue sticks, head up, and
Bob's
your uncle, one for the pot.
Did you use the sticky hat last night?
I was going to, but I got there a little too late. The pheasants were already going up to roost. I mean, that shows you how to practice I am.
If you ever want to go again, I won't mind, Dad.
Do you mean that? No, it's not fair.
As long as you tell me beforehand, and as long as you don't get poacher's bottom.
You sure you won't mind? If I promise to tell you.
No, go tonight if you like.
Really? No, I've...
Go on.
Well, it's a long walk, but there might just be time.
Well, then...
Thanks, Danny. You better put the chicken back. Are you sure about this?
Of course. Good luck.
Thanks, Danny. And don't stay up too late. I'll be back by 10:30 at the latest. Promise.
Well, it's only fair he has his fun, but that poaching's a bit of an eye-opener. I had no idea. At least he told me about it.
The sticky hat. You'd never think that would work.
Happy hunting, Dad. Dad? 2:10! Oh, Dad, 10:30 the latest, you promised. Where are you? What's happened? What if he's lying in Hazel's wood, bleeding to death? No, don't be silly. But where is he? Right, Dad, I'm coming to find you. Flashlight. But it's 6.5 miles. It'll take ages to get there. Should I phone the police? No, that's stupid. They might put Dad in prison. Maybe I could. No, I couldn't. Why not, though? It's an emergency. Go on, then. Come on, Pride and Joy, please. Clutch. First gear. Clutch. And accelerator. Hang on, Dad, I'm on my way. Dad, are you there? Dad, it's Danny. Please tell me where you are. Please answer, Dad. Dad!
Here!
Dad?
Over here!
I'm coming, Dad.
Danny, I'm here. Danny, stop! Stop!
Where are you?
Down here. Come forward slowly. Careful! Don't fall in. It's a pit, a man trap.
Oh, Dad.
Hello, my marvelous darling. Thank you for coming.
Did they dig the hole to catch people?
Yes, and I was stupid enough to fall in.
Are you all right?
I think I've broken my ankle.
Does it hurt?
Yes, it hurts a lot, but don't worry about that. The point is...
Shut up, Dad!
Hey, what's up?
Well, well, well. I thought I heard something. The squeal of Dad's stinking vermin! Say stinky,
look at it, skulking like a cornered rat!
Come on, show us your miserable, weaselly face!
Oh, shy, be shy, huh?
I'll pepper it with shot. That'll shift it.
No, no, no. We'll leave him here to stew. The boss can find out who he is.
Yo! Hey, vermin! Guess who's coming back with us to fish you out?
Mr. Victor Hazel himself, to say hello to you.
And he hates poachers, just despises them!
I hate to think of what he'll do to you when he gets his hands on you, scum!
Come on, Dad. Got to get you out of here before they come back. Hold my hand.
Thanks, Danny. Ow! Hang on!
Have a rest, Dad.
I don't think... My ankle, Danny. I'll never be able to walk back.
Dad, I brought the car. Sergeant Samway's Pride and Joy.
You what? Ow!
I wanted to get here quickly.
You're crazy. You might have been killed.
Well, I wasn't. Come on, try again.
Oh, you're amazing, Danny.
Come on up.
Ow, it's no good. I'll never get out of here without a ladder.
What about a rope?
Well, yes, but we haven't got a rope.
There's a tow rope in the car.
Brilliant.
Stay here.
I haven't much choice.
I'll be right back. Here, grab the rope. Hold on tight.
Okay. Go slow. Help me to the car.
Hold on to me.
Glad I taught you how to drive.
Me too.
Good work, rabbits. I told you, a pit would do the trick. Hey, you worm. I'll make you squirm, thieving little parasite. Poaching deserves punishment, and punished you will be. Torch? Shotgun? No, you shine the torch. Give me the shotgun. Wait, what? Ah, you idiot! Imbeciles!
Sorry, boss.
Stupid dunderheads!
I'm gonna throw you in this pit. I don't know. I won't care. I'm gonna throw you in after you break.
No, don't push me in.
Get back here, you
rabbits! Come back! Come back!
But great heavens alive, he can't do that. Victor Hazel can't go digging tiger traps in the woods for human beings. It's monstrous.
Monstrous, yes, Doctor. Hazel's a monster, all right. Oh!
Does that hurt, William?
Yes!
Not surprised. It's broken, all right.
I phoned the hospital, Dr. Spencer. The ambulance is on its way.
Well done, Danny. And well done rescuing your dad.
I couldn't have got out without him.
Hand me those scissors, please, Danny. In my bag. It's diabolical, William. Thanks, Danny. It means that decent folk like you and me can't even go out and have a little fun at night without risking a broken leg or arm. We might even break our necks. Hold still, William.
You don't mean. You surely don't do it too, Dr. Spencer.
Well, I have been known to indulge in a little bit of poaching, Danny. Great fun.
Dad uses the sticky hat.
Ah, the sticky hat.
Well, didn't get a chance tonight, thanks to Hazel's trap.
I never did like that Victor Hazel. He needed an injection once. I saw him through the window, driving up to the surgery in his whacking great rolls. My old dog, Bertie, was dozing on the doorstep, and would you believe it, Hazel didn't step over him. He kicked him out of the way with his riding boot.
He didn't.
He did, the brute.
What did you do?
I left him sitting in the waiting room while I picked out the oldest, bluntest needle I could find. Then I rubbed the point of it on a nail file to make it blunter still. By the time I'd got through with it, it was blunter than a ballpoint pen. Then I called him in and told him to lower his pants and bend over. Then I ran the needle into his fleshy back like a stuck pig. He's never been back since, for which I'm truly thankful. Ah, here's the ambulance. Now, Danny, look after these for when your dad gets home. Sleeping pills. He might need them.
Thanks, Dr. Spencer.
And William, seriously, don't start planning revenge on Hazel. He's a nasty piece of work, no mistake. But don't push him too far. He might, you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah.
Right, let's go.
See you later, Danny.
Good luck, Dad. What did Dr. Spencer mean? Hazel might, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know what she's talking about. Hazel might, what? Another big secret. What's going on?
Oh, sorry, dear. I just popped around the back and met your wildly free-range chickens. Bit muddy around there.
Can I help you?
I hope so, dear. I'm from the council. Is your mom in?
No, she's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Silly me. I mean, is your dad in?
No, he's, out.
Are you on your own?
Yes.
Shouldn't you be at school?
Well, maybe, but I'm looking after the filling station till Dad gets back. He's at the hospital.
I see. Well, maybe you could just show me the car van.
Why?
Just to check it's a fit place for humans to live in.
What do you mean?
We don't allow people to live in dirty, broken down shacks these days.
It's not dirty or broken down. It's my home.
Of course, dear. I'm only joking. Can I have a peep inside?
Suppose so.
Very snug. Sleep in here, do you?
Of course.
And eat? How do you cook?
Paraffin burner?
I see. No electricity then?
Not in here, no.
What about light? How do you see to do your homework?
Paraffin lamp.
Ah, yes. I can smell it. Do you wash, dear?
Of course.
I can't see a bath.
Dad heats a kettle of water, then gives me a good scrub standing up. Don't need a bath.
No, I see. Good. Well, thank you, dear. That's all I need. Do these chickens always run around like this? Good morning!
What was that all about? What did she want? How do you have a bath?
Do the chickens always run around like this? Cluck, cluck. Yes, well, actually, we do, your ladyship. Cluck, cluck. Cause we live here. Cluck, cluck. Better tell Dad tonight.
How dare they send someone round to snoop on us, saying it's dirty in here?
She said that bit was a joke.
It wasn't funny. Before your mom died, I promised her I'd look after you properly.
And you do, Dad.
I do the washing. I used to wash your diapers, I scrub the floor, I change the sheets every week, and now that you're older, you do your bit. It's spotless in here, how dare they?
More baked beans, Dad?
No thanks, Danny. That was great. You're a great help. I'm proud of you.
How's the ankle?
Hardly hurts at all. Ow, ow, maybe just a little. And it itches under the plaster.
You'd better have a sleeping pill.
No need. I'll sleep like the dead. Dirty, she said. I don't believe it. Wouldn't mind betting Hazel's behind this.
Hazel? No, it was the council.
But who put the council up to it, eh? Hazel. Just the sort of mean trick that fat slug would pull. One day I'll get him, you wait.
Careful, Dad.
What?
I heard Dr. Spencer warn you about Mr. Hazel. About not trying to get revenge. She said Hazel might do something. She said you knew what she meant. And you said, yes, you knew what she meant. But I don't know. I don't know what she meant. I'm always the last to know. It's another silly big secret you don't share with me. And I don't like it. It's not fair. It sounds very serious, and I'm just left in the dark. What might Mr. Hazel do? Tell me! How can I help when I don't know what the hell is going on?
You're right, Danny. You're always right. I shouldn't hide things from you. I wanted to protect you, but I've ended up getting you worried. What do you want to know?
Why do you hate Hazel so much? It's not just his money or that he's rude. There must be more. What's the big secret?
He's a roaring snob, and he's very nasty, but yes, there's more. He owns all the land around for miles. Not just the wood. Everything on either side of the valley. Everything except this little patch where we live. The filling station and the caravan.
Who owns this bit?
We do. But Mr. Hazel wants it, and nothing would please him more than to get his slimy hands on it. And greedy men like Hazel are ruthless. They won't live and let live. They stop at nothing to get their way, and that's why I don't like him so much. Now, early night, for the both of us.
This morning, boys and girls, is a special morning. Settle down, no talking. This morning, we have two visitors with something very exciting to talk about. So, sit up straight, legs crossed, arms folded. Jillian, I'm not telling you again. Stop doing that to Brian. Now, let's give a warm St. Wilberforce School welcome to our visitors.
Thank you, headmistress. Good morning, children. My name is Mr. Hazel. Now, this coming Saturday, it will be October the 1st. Anyone know what's so special about October the 1st? It is the start of the pheasant shooting season. And, as is customary, I shall be inviting to Hazel Hall, my country house, all my distinguished friends, to what is generally accepted as the best pheasant shooting party in the county. And this year, some of you kiddies are invited to join in the fun. Now, this is Miss Rabbits, my head gamekeeper, and she'll tell you a bit more.
Right, yes, well, what the boss, Mr. Hazel, wants is for some of you kids to be beaters. What beaters do is come up to Hazel's wood, where all the pheasants are, and when all the bosses, Mr. Hazel's posh guests, are ready with their shotguns, we start yelling and shouting and bashing away at the undergrowth to make the pheasants fly up, ready to be shot.
Show 'em, rabbits. Give 'em a demonstration.
Ah!
That's enough. So, we want some volunteers. Who would like to be a beater? Hands up.
No, do your own dirty work.
Who said that?
Murderer!
Daniel, sit down and be quiet.
No, miss, it's wrong. Shooting beautiful bird for fun, it's wrong.
Quiet. Mr. Hazel.
Murderer!
Who is that boy?
Daniel, he...
They haven't done any harm. Why shoot them? Shoot him instead.
The boy from the filling station. I know you.
And I know you, Mr. Hazel, and I don't like what you do.
Daniel!
Zip it, young man. I'm very sorry, Mr. Hazel. I'm quite sure we have many children who will be delighted to be beaters. I'll be in touch.
Very well, headmistress. And I hope this rude boy won't be allowed to get away with his wild interruption. He must be punished.
Daniel, how dare you behave like that when we have visitors?
But miss!
No buts, Daniel. You are very rude. I quite understand you feel strongly about shooting birds for sport. Many people agree with you it is unacceptable.
It's wrong, miss!
But it is not illegal, and you cannot just shout and scream at people like Mr. Hazel because you don't agree with them. We live in a community, Daniel. We have to get along. Live and let live. Civilized behavior. Now, hold out your hand. Now.
Ow!
Barbaric it was, Sergeant. They shouldn't be allowed to hit children.
Danny, all right?
He's not complaining, but you can still see the mark on his hand. It's not right.
I got caned once. Old Hottie Wooten, the teacher, he used to sit on my desk when chatting to the class, you know? So one day I overfilled the inkwell. Remember when we had them inkwells? He sits down and gets an inky bum. Ha! Then I gets a sore bum.
Well, Danny wasn't even misbehaving, just standing up for what he believes.
And standing up to Mr. Hazel by the sound of it.
Well, yes.
And you've been in the wars too, eh, Willem? In Hazel's Wood?
Yes.
Be careful, Willem. You know what he's like.
And I'm sorry, your pride and joy is not serviced yet. What, with one thing and another?
No worry, no hurry, Willem. I'll be back in a day or two. Ah, speak of the devil. Watch it, Willem.
Afternoon. Had an accident, have we? Or a fall, perhaps?
Mr. Hazel, I thought I made it clear that I had no wish to serve you.
You made it perfectly clear that you do not wish to serve me. But I wish to serve you with this!
Tea, Dad? What is it?
Letter from the Council.
It has been decided that your caravan is unfit for human habitation. What does that mean?
Read the last bit.
The Council will now confiscate your land and sell it to the highest bidder. Signed, Council Clark. Dad?
Hazel's won. 4 weeks' notice. He's getting rid of us, Danny. We'll have nowhere to live.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for coming. It's very gratifying to see so many of you here this evening. Nearly the whole village seems to have taken the trouble to come. I think most of you know I'm Dr. Spencer, and this is the vicar's wife, Mrs. Clipstone. What many of you may not know is that William, who runs our filling station, and his son Danny have been served an eviction order by the council. In 4 weeks' time, they must leave their caravan.
It's outrageous! The council can't just kick them out.
Thank you, Mr. Kinch, but I'm afraid the council can do just that.
But how can I run a taxi service if I have to drive miles into town for gas?
Indeed, Mr. Kinch, but it's not just the inconvenience. It's the effect on William and Danny, two of our village's most popular residents. Mrs. Clipstone?
Thank you, Doctor. We feel it is quite unfair for William and Danny to be forced out of their home.
Hear, hear!
So, we are starting a petition of protest to the council, saying, we, the undersigned, deplore the council's unfair decision and demand that they reconsider and allow the filling station to remain open and William and Danny to stay in their caravan. We'd like you all to show your support by signing the petition as you leave.
I will. That's for sure.
Thank you, Mr. Kinch.
Please, everybody, if you agree, raise your hands now. Excellent! Thank you! I know that William and Danny will be delighted to have your support.
Coco?
Thanks, Dad.
Nearly finished your homework?
Yes.
Better get a move on. Be dark soon.
It's good about the petition.
Hmm?
If everyone signs, maybe Mr. Hazel will have to back down.
Maybe.
Dad?
What?
What are you plotting?
Me? Plotting?
I can tell.
I'm not!
Tell me. No more secrets. You promised.
I was just thinking. Well, dreaming, really. I was thinking about Hazel's shooting party, October the 1st. Well, wouldn't it be marvelous to somehow magically find a way of poaching so many pheasants from Hazel's wood that there wouldn't be any left for the shoot? To somehow knock off a couple hundred birds all in one go. So Hazel's party would be the biggest washout in history.
You're not serious.
No, Danny, of course not. I mean, it's hard enough catching one pheasant, let alone 200. I've got a broken ankle to prove it. It's a lovely thought. Come on now. Bedtime.
How is your ankle?
Throbbing a bit.
Better lie down and take a sleeping pill tonight.
No, I can't be messing with those things.
Dad, suppose...
Danny?
No, Dad, listen. I've got an idea. Your sleeping pills. Is there any reason why they wouldn't work on a pheasant?
No chance, Danny. No pheasant in the world's going to swallow one of those big lousy red capsules.
But if we opened up the capsules and put the powder in some raisins, maybe...
Oh, my darling boy. I do believe you've got it. I do!
You reckon it might work?
It'll work, all right. Put the powder in 200 raisins, scatter them round the feeding grounds at sunset, and then walk away. And then after it's dark, and the keepers have all gone home, come back into the wood. The pheasants would be up in the trees by then, roosting, and then the pills start to work. The pheasants start feeling groggy, wobbling, and trying to keep their balance. And then they topple off unconscious and fall to the ground, dropping out of the trees like apples. And then all I have to do is go around picking them up.
Can I do it with you, Dad?
Oh, my God, and there's no chance of being caught. Just strolling through the woods, dropping a few raisins here and there. The keepers wouldn't even notice a thing.
Will you let me come too, Dad?
Danny, my love, if this works, it'll revolutionize poaching.
Yes, Dad, but can I come with you?
Oh, come with me? My dear boy, of course you can come with me. It's your idea. You must be there to see it happening. So now then, where are those pills?
Shouldn't we try it out?
How?
Like your dad used to.
Chicken! Come here, you. Gotcha. Okay, I got one. All right, here, Danny, hold her while I get a raisin ready. All right, there are 50 capsules, so if we divide the powder from each one among four raisins, then we can get 200.
Will that be enough powder to send the pheasants to sleep?
Of course. A pheasant is much smaller than a man. Now, Chick Chick, here's a tasty bit for you.
Go on. It's scrumptious.
Yes!
Doesn't look too sleepy.
Oh, give her time. Give her time.
Dad?
Yes?
200 raisins aren't going to get you 200 pheasants.
Why not?
Because surely the greediest birds will gobble up about 10 raisins each.
You've got a good point there. But somehow I don't think it'll happen that way. Not if I'm careful and spread them out over a wide area.
And you promise I can come with you?
Oh, absolutely. And we shall call this method the Sleeping Beauty. It will be a landmark in the history of poaching. Exciting, isn't it?
Bit scary, too.
Oh, no time to be scared. We've got to make our plans. The shooting party's on October the 1st.
Saturday. When do we do the job?
Friday. We get 2 days to get this ready. And Danny?
Yes?
Not a word of this to any of your friends at school.
Of course not. Hey, Dad, look.
What?
The Sleeping Beauty!
Tonight's the night. We've been working really hard. Dad even let me take the day off of school to make sure we got the raisins ready in time. It's really fiddly. Opening the capsules, dividing the powder, cutting a slit in the raisins, putting the powder in, then sewing them up.
How do you feel, Danny?
Terrific. Do you think they might have dug any more of those pits?
Oh, we'll keep a lookout, don't you worry. You hear that?
Yes.
It's a bullfrog calling to his wife. He does it by blowing out his dewlap and letting it go with a burp.
What happens when his wife hears him?
Well, she goes hopping over to him, happy to be invited. But often he's so pleased with the sound of his own voice that his wife has to nudge him a few times before he'll stop burping and give her a hug. We men aren't so different from a bullfrog, I guess. Wild animals teach us a lot about ourselves, you know.
Pheasants aren't really wild, are they?
Of course they are.
But not Mr. Hazel's pheasants. You said he buys them as chicks and then feeds them. Like pets, almost.
Well, yes, but the law says they're wild birds. They only belong to you when they're on your land, even if you pay for them.
Really?
Yeah, like trout. If a trout swims out of your stretch of water into someone else's, you can't say, "Hey, that's mine, I want it back."
So, say if one of Mr. Hazel's pheasants flew away and landed on the filling station...
It would belong to us.
Really?
Yes, till it flew back again. Come on, this way. There they are, Danny. Pheasants.
Watch out, Dad.
Here, take these and spread them over there. Really spread them out. Oh, we did it, Danny. We pulled it off. Doesn't that make you feel good?
Terrific. A bit scary, though.
Oh, but that's what poaching is all about. It scares the pants off us. That's why we love it. You want an apple?
Thanks.
Come on, Danny. It's getting dark. We're going back.
Are they roosting, Dad?
Yes, high up in the branches. This will be the first time in the world that anyone has tried to poach roosting pheasants. And it's all thanks to you, Danny. Now, let's wait for them to start falling like raindrops from the sky.
Look, Dad, it's working!
It's beautiful, it's beautiful!
My.
Yes!
Oh my, yes. It worked! It's raining pheasants!
It's a triumph! Oh, what would Victor Hazel think if he could see this?
Don't think about it, Dad.
I can't help it, Danny. It's just all I wanted. It's a miracle! Here, take this big bag and start grabbing.
So this, then. Just as I thought. Caught red-handed. Ha ha! Got you. Fooled you.
Charlie, thank heavens it's you. It's all right, Danny. It's Charlie.
Mr. Kinch, what are you doing here?
Brought the taxi. Just like I said I would. You need it by the look of things.
Oh, sorry, Danny. I forgot to tell you.
Another secret, Dad?
Not really. But I knew we couldn't carry this lot out on our own.
So you knew about Dad's poaching, Mr. Kinch?
Of course, Danny. I've poached more pheasants in my time than you've sold gallons of gas. But never as many as this in one go. I recognize this is a record.
And it's all thanks to Danny, Charlie. He's champion of the village.
He is indeed. Come on, I'll give you a hand. The taxi's over there.
Leave it to Dad not to tell me Mr. Kinch was coming. My heart was thumping like crazy when I heard his voice. Hello, hello, hello. What's all this then? Ha! Something else Dad hadn't told me. Another big secret. Mrs. Clipstone was in on it too. The vicar's wife. We drove straight to the parish and left the pheasant with her for safekeeping. Dad said the vicar's very fond of roasted pheasants for his dinner. Anyway, we came home and went to bed, and now it's Saturday, the day of the shooting party. The day Mr. Hazel gets his comeuppance, we hope.
Danny, good morning.
Morning, Dr. Spencer.
Congratulations, my dear. Well done.
Huh?
The Sleeping Beauty. Brilliant. Your dad rang me with the splendid news. A brilliant idea. Why didn't I think of it myself?
Well, it was thanks to your sleeping pills.
You're a genius, Danny.
That's right, Doc. I told him he's the champion of the village.
Of the village? He's champion of the county. Hail to thee, champion Danny. Now, William, look.
What's that?
The petition, William. The petition. Everyone signed. Some people twice. I'll deliver it to the council and hope they see sense.
Well, thank you, Doc. It's great to know how much support we've got, eh, Danny?
Great.
Morning, all.
Morning, Sergeant.
Hello, Edek. How are you?
Right as rain. Thank you, Doc. Have my pride and joy. Willem?
Just finished her, Sergeant. Cough's gone. She's running. Sweet as a proverbial nut. Bring her out for the Sergeant, please, Danny.
Right, Dad.
What do I owe you, Willem?
No charge, Sergeant. My pleasure. Anyway, I kept you waiting for her.
Maybe you'd like to sign the petition, Enoch, to let William and Danny stay at the filling station.
Yes, I heard about that. I'm all for it.
Thanks, Enoch.
Here's to help, Doc. I hope it works. Willem?
Your pride and joy, Sergeant.
Thanks, young Danny. I'll give her a test run and then come back for my bike. Bye, all.
Bye.
Bye, Enoch.
Look, Dad. It's Mrs. Clipstone with Christopher.
Excellent. Right on time. What a woman. This is her sixth delivery this morning.
How do you mean?
Well, there's only one way of delivering pheasants safely.
And that's under a baby.
Under a baby?
In a stroller.
With the baby on top.
What a brilliant idea.
Right through the village.
Bold as brass.
Good for her.
We're storing the pheasants in the workshop.
Why is she running, Dad?
And why is Christopher yelling his head off?
Maybe he's having a fit. Just as well we've got a doctor handy.
Dad, it might be serious.
It will be if she gives away the game. Stop running, Mrs. Clipstone.
Help, help!
What is it?
They're pecking me to pieces, my little Christopher.
Great, stop! The sleeping pills are wearing off.
Well, look out, they've woken up!
They're coming out of the workshop now!
Oh, best laid plans! Are you all right, Mrs. Clipstone?
Oh, yes. It's Christopher I'm worried about.
He's fine. No damage done. Hey, Christopher?
He's never sat on an exploding mattress before.
I should have thought. Sleeping pills always wear off by the next morning.
For my pheasants! My pheasants! My pheasants!
But they are not your pheasants. They're mine.
Don't lie to me, man. I'm the only person around here who has pheasants.
Well, they're on my land. They flew onto my land. So as long as they stay on my land, they belong to me. Don't you know the rules, you bloated old blue-faced baboon?
How dare you?
How dare you? Why don't you just steep drive off in your big old fancy
car? Your attitude is
calm down.
You always dislike us.
Let's discuss this in a sensible way. You're both acting like children. Please, just stop and listen to me for a second.
Well, what may I ask is happening around here?
I'll tell you what's happening around here. These are my pheasants, and this rogue has enticed them out of my woods onto his filthy little filling station.
Enticed? Enticed them, did you say?
Of course he enticed them.
Well now, this is a very interesting accusation. Very interesting indeed. Because I never heard of nobody enticing a pheasant across 6 miles of fields and open countryside. How do you think this enticing was performed, Mr. Razzle, if I may ask?
Don't ask me how he did it, because I don't know. But he's done it all right. The proof is all around you. All my finest birds are sitting here in this dirty little filling station, when they ought to be up in my own wood getting ready for the shoot.
Well, surely you know how these pheasants came here.
Surely I don't know.
Well, then I shall tell you, because it is really quite simple. They all knew they were going to get shot today if they stayed in your wood. So they flew in here to wait until the shooting was over.
Balderdash.
It would undoubtedly be a great honor to be shot by the chief of police, and even a greater one to be eaten afterwards by Lord Thistlethwaite. But I don't think the pheasants would see it that way.
You're scoundrels, both of you. Rapscallions. Sergeant, the council has issued a 4-week eviction order on this thief and his brat of a son. I order you to kick him out right now.
You can't do that. What about the petition?
Yes, indeed. All the villagers have signed it, and nothing can happen till the council considers it.
That's what I think
about the petition.
Stop it, please. All of the shouting and arguing, it won't get us anywhere. It's just silly.
What?
Please, Mr. Hazel, listen. You want the pheasants for your shooting party. Dad and I don't want to lose our home, right? I suggest we all do our best and try to get the pheasants to fly over the road. Drive them back onto Mr. Hazel's land.
That sounds eminently sensible to me, Danny. Willem?
Fair enough.
Mr. Hazel?
It'd be a step in the right direction.
And in return, Mr. Hazel, please, will you let us stay here?
It's nothing to do with me.
I think it is, Mr. Hazel. The council will listen to you.
Well,
You could tear up the eviction order for a start.
Sounds fair to me.
An excellent compromise.
Please, Mr. Hazel.
Oh, very well.
Right, come on, everyone. Shoo, shoo.
Shoo, shoo.
Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out.
Get out of here.
Come on.
Come on.
Over the road, everybody. Go.
Come on.
Not on my car, you idiots. They'll ruin my paintwork.
Sorry, Mr. Hazel. We've done our very best to encourage these birds over the road, but they're too ignorant to understand.
They're on my car!
At least they're back on your property, sir. That's a fair result. I'd get in the driver away quick.
Don't forget to tear up this, Mr. Hazel. You promised.
If you think I'm going to tear this up now, think again. The eviction order stands.
Sorry, Dad.
You did your best, Danny.
Looks like no pheasants, no home.
Well, the pheasants don't matter. And Dr. Spencer's going to stick the petition back together. So, fingers crossed. We've still got a chance, son.
And in the meantime, it's nearly the start of Mr. Victor Hazel's shooting party.
Ah, the beaters have arrived. Splendid. Welcome, kiddies. I'm sure you're going to have a jolly time. This will be a day you'll never forget. Now, before we take you up into Hazel's wood, we're going to give you a practice in the finer skills of beating. Rabbits, where are you? Excuse me, stay there. Rabbits!
Hey, listen everyone. I've had an idea. I don't think any of us really want this shooting party to go ahead, do we? Eh? Well, listen. If we all go along with the beating practice, if we pretend to be on Hazel's side, I'm sure we can stop the shooting party from happening. Okay? Trust me. You see, here's the plan. We all go to Hazel's wood and get there before the shooting party. Then we start beating early, so all the pheasants fly up and escape before the shooting starts. So everyone, very quiet, until...
My dear Sir Godfrey, Lady Thistlewaite, Lord Thistlewaite, Counselor Clark, you are most welcome. This is a great season for pheasants. A very great season indeed. Please follow me. There are drinks this way. A glass of chilled champagne or some mulled wine, perhaps.
Here we are. This is it, everybody. Please, quietly stand up. Ready, steady, beat! We did it! Yeah! They're coming. Shh! Good luck!
My lords, ladies, and gentlemen, the moment we have all been waiting for has arrived. Please prepare your shotguns. Good sport, everybody. Rabbits!
Beaters, stand by. Beaters, beat!
Come on, Kenny!
Rabbits, what's going on?
Nothing, sir. Don't understand it.
Again!
Beaters, beat!
Come on,
what's all this, Hazel? Where are the pheasants?
Sir Godfrey, please!
Sure waste of time, not a single bird!
Lord Thistlewaite, I'm sure...
Absolute washout, time to go.
Lady Thistlewaite, let's try again!
This erased while I've had enough.
Counselor Clark, no, don't go, please. Stay for another glass of champagne.
Never liked the man. Jumped up a little upstart. Won't bother to come again. What a shambles.
Rabbits!
Sorry, boss. Nothing to do with me, boss.
It was you! How dare you sabotage my shooting party? How dare you make me a laughing stock? It's not funny! It's not funny! I might have guessed, like father, like son, trouble.
I didn't want those pheasants shot in cold blood, just for fun. Maybe I shouldn't have helped them escape, and maybe Dad shouldn't go poaching on your land. Though it's gone on for years and doesn't really do much harm. All right, we were wrong. But not as wrong as you, Mr. Hazel. Just because you're rich, thinking you can do as you please, dig pits to catch people in, send spies to look at the caravan and get the council to try and throw Dad and I out? That's wrong. Just because you want to own all the land, you try to get your hands on ours. That's not fair. You're a bully, Mr. Hazel, and I don't see why you should get away with it. My dad's worth 100 of you, Mr. Hazel. He's kind. He helps people. He's looked after me since I was a baby. The village likes him, and they don't like you, because you think you're special, not one of us. Why can't you live and let live? Let us stay here, please.
Well said, Danny.
We're right behind you, lad.
The whole village is behind you, Danny.
Well, Mr. Hazel?
It's quite clear that filling station, that caravan, they don't meet the regulations. It's the law. There's nothing I can do.
What regulations?
It's in black and white, I tell you. No electricity in the caravan, no running water, unhygienic chickens running loose. It's quite clear, unfit for human habitation. 4 weeks' notice.
There is electricity in your workshop, isn't there, William?
Of course. Couldn't fix the cars without it.
Couldn't we wire up the caravan from the workshop?
I'm sure the electricity board could easily do that.
And there's water by the gas pumps, isn't there?
Well, there's a tap. And a fire hydrant.
Couldn't we extend the pipe to the caravan?
The water board could do that with the greatest of ease.
And couldn't we build a proper run to keep the chickens in?
I'd be glad to give you a hand with that. Bit of wire, few pieces of wood, no problem.
No problem indeed, and 4 weeks in which to complete the work. Well, Mr. Hazel?
It's not as simple as that.
I think it is, Mr. Hazel.
Please, Mr. Hazel.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah! Woo!
Well done, Danny.
That showed him.
I think he'll keep a low profile, for a while at least.
Thank you all for your support.
Happy, William?
Of course, Doc, but sad, too.
How come, Willem?
Well, sad we've nothing to show for Danny's brilliant Sleeping Beauty method. We deserved just a few spoils, didn't we?
I wish now I hadn't delivered them in Christopher's stroller.
Christopher, is he all right?
Sleeping like a baby.
Well, he is a baby.
You know, I have a hunch.
What sort of hunch, Doc?
Don't you think some of the pheasants might have been greedier than the others? Might have gobbled up more than their share of raisins?
We did think of that, hey, Danny?
Yeah.
I wonder, Mrs. Clipstone, would you mind terribly if I asked you to lift Christopher out of his stroller for me?
As long as he doesn't wake up.
I knew it! I don't think these will ever wake up.
Aha! Marvelous, Doc. How about two each, with our sincere and grateful thanks?
It's great living in a village, sharing the good times. Helping each other through the bad times. Mr. Hazel will rear his ugly head again someday, but I think we're safe for now.
Thanks, Danny. Your mom would be proud of you.
And of you.
I've done my best.
Are we a team from now on?
The best team. Top of the league.
No more secrets.
No more secrets.
Except poaching secrets.
Just between us.
You know what, Dad?
What?
It was fun.
I know, it was.
I really loved it.
So did I, Danny. You know, we should, lock up and take a vacation for the rest of the day.
Really? But we always stay open on Saturdays and Sundays.
Maybe it's time we didn't.
Well, what would we do?
Something else. Something more interesting. We could go fishing.
We could!
Or get a stove.
A real stove?
Well, we're going to need something to cook these birds on and the fish. And after we go shop for our stove, we can go home and make some sandwiches for lunch. And then go see if we can't find some of those big rainbow trout. We could try tickling them the way Dr. Spencer told us. Now that will make a good day of it.
Good. Great. Lovely. I reached out and slid my hand into his. He folded his strong fingers around my hand and I held it tight. And we walked on towards the village where soon the two of us would be inspecting all of the ovens with great care and talking to Mr. Wheeler, the shopkeeper, personally about them. And after that, we would walk home again and make up some sandwiches for our lunch. And after that, we would set off with the sandwiches in our pockets, striding over Cobbler's Hill and down the other side to the small wood of lark trees with the stream running through it. And after that, perhaps a big rainbow trout. And after that, there would be something else after that. And after that, ah, yes, and something else again. Because what I'm trying to tell you, what I've been trying to tell you all along, is simply that my father, without the slightest doubt, was the most marvelous and exciting father any boy ever had. I love you, Dad.